We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Greg Olson here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFL SundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code Greg88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code Greg88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
It's another hot one in the Bay.
I think that was the, you know, Sam, sometimes when you're so, like, you're so drunk or so hungover that you wake up in the middle of the night and you, like, still think you're in a dream. 4 a.m. comes around Sunday morning. Now, at this point, everyone knows, but you hear thunder and lightning. I literally thought I was in a dream, that it was happening. Turns out it's real life. I go on Twitter at 4 a.m. and I'm like, yeah, this is really happening.
You know what happened for me is I was in bed and I had all the windows open because it was hot, right? And everything starts shaking aggressively.
Oh, the wind.
And, you know, that was kind of, I got up, I shut everything down, I went to bed, didn't hear anything.
You sound like a big sleep. Like, you sound like you're a deep sleeper too, you know? I feel like you're the type to not wake up despite anything happening around you.
Sometimes.
I wake up every 2 hours. I'm a piece of shit. For basketball, you know, Sam, it feels like, you know what? Actually, before we get into it, lottery show, Warriors lottery show this Thursday. I'm excited. I think this is like the first time that we've done live video, Sam, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we were always planning to do a live lottery party, probably at a bar. And then, you know, the pandemic hit. The gods above us heard that we were trying to expand to live shows and they're like, nah, I can't let that happen. Had to immediately send down the plague. But I think this will be a good alternative. It'll be fun. So we'll put out some details on the timeline in the next couple of days, but, the idea is we're going to go live immediately after the lottery. So 6 PM Thursday, we'll be taking your questions. It'll be streamed live on YouTube. Put questions in there and it'll be fun.
It's and we're going to save a lot of money because I'm not paying for 25 shots for each person. So no, it's exciting. You will have did you mention the special guest? I think you did. We'll have someone on. I don't
maybe
know, man.
Multiple guests. Maybe.
maybe multiple guests. Not enough Andy and Sam, you know? We got to bring more people on. It's been like 8 months of this, man. We've been waiting for this. Any Warriors content is gold. We're ready to provide it.
I know. I'm just so excited to know where they pick, and then we can have a little more concrete discussions. It's less like, should they take Anthony Edwards? Well, I don't know. They might have the fourth pick and not have a shot, so we don't have to talk about Anthony Edwards anymore, you know? So just a little more finality, getting a little closer, although who knows if they'll ever play next season. And it'll be good. Yeah, man. I'm excited. Actually, I got a funny story for you. We're gonna go some golfing this weekend. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's the plan. We're gonna meet Sam and I are gonna play 18.
We're pivoting to golf.
I watched Colin Morikawa.
The NBA ratings are in the toilet. We got to pivot. This is a golf pod now.
Well, Morikawa won the majors. He's like 23 years old. He's one of the first youngest people to win the majors outside of Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and that other guy, McIlroy.
That's some pretty good. It's a pretty stock company.
Not bad. Not bad. So now I'm a golfer. So yeah. Hey, by the way, for those that do golf, never been able to hit a driver straight. Never. So no matter how far the course is, your boy is seven ironing it the whole way through. And I know Sam's gonna. You know what? Par three, I might use a pitching wedge off the tee. Like that's what I might be doing.
So I hit up the driving range last week with my buddy Scott, and you know, I don't golf. It's kind of one of those things like we should just start doing this a little more regularly because there's nothing else to do. And so we go to driving range thinking, you know, I'm not going to hit up a golf course. Like I need to hit the driving range a few times just to feel comfortable swinging. And so I get there and I'm like, I don't know, what should we get, like 50 balls each? And we go, he's like, no, screw that. We get the max. It was like 200 each. I didn't really have any context for how much that was. The next day, I don't think my shoulders hurt that much, which is, by the way, also a sign I have no clue how to swing.
How do your shoulders hurt? You would think maybe your knee or your back, but jeez. Oh, how are you swinging this thing?
Lower back and left shoulder. I'm a lefty, by the way. That's the other part. So hard to find lefty clubs. I found some like crappy three wood to swing with. And then anytime I hit it straight, you know, I had to keep going to like prove I could do it. And you know how that goes. It's like you hit one straight, you feel really good about yourself, and then you shank like 10 in a row. And long story short, I talked with another friend of mine who's actually like a serious golfer, like, you know, like multiple times a week. He's like, you hit how many? I don't know. I don't usually go more than 40 or 50 off the driving range. It's just, you're going to hurt yourself. I'm like, oh God. So long story short, I have no clue what I was doing. I was just limping around with my back and shoulder hurting afterwards. The shoulder should never hurt because you shouldn't be using your shoulder. But you know how it gets when you get out there and you see people who you deem smaller or less athletic looking than you driving it farther. And so like the ego comes into it and you're like, I have to at least be able to hit this a respectable distance. And it just leads to you hurting yourself.
The best part is Sam not wanting to admit how far short that he hit the ball. We'll leave that to chance. By the way, there was one time where I was hitting the range. I hit like, so you hit 200? Yeah, it's a shit ton. Usually I'm you know, keep it under 100. Even 100 is too much. Like my hands get all calloused and I don't like having calloused hands. But one time I was so bored because we were hitting like 200 balls. And this isn't the one, I think, Burlingame driving range. It's just like really nice, especially at night.
Right.
And I started just messing around and hitting like two or three balls at once, obviously fucking amateur hour. So looking like an asshole with people who are actually wanting to be at the range. So I wanted to, like, I put three balls together.
You can tell pretty quickly who golfs and who's there to mess around.
But just drink. I smacked this one with three balls and it went straight back into, or parallel, I guess, straight into my calf. I never hit more than one ball at a time again. So there's your golfing. We're giving people golfing
lessons.
Let's go.
I think what we have to do is when we do actually go hit this weekend, we'll give some people some content to see how terrible we are. With all that said, lottery on Thursday. we started with that. I'm a little excited here, man. We will finally know where the Warriors pick. We will finally know.
Yeah. Also, Bob Myers came out with some comments too that were interesting today. But it just, I think we spent so much time saying, you know, if Devin Vassell is there at 8, the Warriors should just trade down and see if they can get Devin Vassell. Now we can change our discussion, Sam, for the next few months of every single day talking about who the Warriors can get with the second pick. Now it's, you know, if the Knicks fall in love with Wiseman, the Warriors, what if the Warriors have to decide between Wiseman and Edwards? What if they get stuck with LaMelo Ball? Do they trade out and then end up with Tyrese Halliburton, who they like more? I'm excited to be able to at least hone in on what we can talk about every single day for 2 months, because that's what we're
doing. I'm just excited to talk about it because we'll be slowly getting back to relevant basketball and just generally anything to do with, you know, this whole year's obviously it's a little bit of a gap year. We all know that they're kind of, you know, they tanked it up this year. So now we'll get to see what the next pieces are. So we got some interesting stuff here. Bob Myers evoked Moneyball, some funny quotes. I got to read one of them for you. There's so much math to everything. The notion of what used to be maybe 10 to 15 years ago, you look at that scene in Moneyball where they're all sitting around the table and you've got some old scouts commenting on a guy's girlfriend. Looks like, and then Billy's sitting there with his assistant GM and they're processing on base percentage. I think it's somewhere in the middle of that. I don't know if I should feel good or bad about that quote. I don't know. Where are you at?
First of all, I don't even know why he brought up Moneyball, which is interesting to me.
It's because the A's are still the most important team in all of sports.
All right. I guess you could make a case
impact,
for that, actually.
Impact. Yeah, ironically, they'll never win, but they did change the way everyone does everything with sports. Sorry.
That's what I assumed you meant.
I got to be a pessimist because I can't lean into this being their year because they'll just find a way to kick me in the nuts. And
well, you've never been the – When I talk to you, I've done it plenty of times where I just flaunt the Giants championships. You've never done that. Although maybe that's because they don't win championships.
It was early in my lifetime, but they've won in my lifetime.
If I wasn't born, doesn't count to me. I always talk about this. I always revere the way that Daryl Morey goes about building a basketball team. And really his thought process on building a basketball team. Some of it doesn't work. We've made fun of it a lot when it doesn't work. And I've always thought Bob Myers is on the opposite side of the spectrum. So to me, Bob Myers is really good at knowing what type of players are kind of the players that you want on a basketball team, right? I think he's been very good at picking the guys that are just good people, Iguodala, Livingston, really anybody else, especially on down, like David West, Oscar Pachulia, all that. But to me, the one that's been lacking for the Warriors is finding kind of like the rare, we talk about Daniel House a lot, or really have a system that makes those players, even the crappy ones, good.
Functional.
I think a lot of it, what's that?
I said functional. Yeah.
And to me, the Rockets have always done a good job. And that's what Farhan Zaidi is good at, right? That's what the A's have been really good at, that, you know, we talk about the Giants, but they've never really been good at. And I think that the Warriors probably needed to be good at that a couple of years ago. But now they really do, because they really have the options to get there with traded player exception, NBA draft, all of that. And I don't know what's wrong with using – I feel like there's some part of the Warriors that feel like they're above everyone else, where they feel like, well, the league's turning analytics, so we don't really want to do all of that and admit that we want to do all of that. You know, like, doesn't it feel like they always want to act like that they're smarter than anyone? That rubs me the wrong way, because I don't know if you are.
Yeah, there is a level of thinking they are ahead of everyone and smarter than everyone that's a little arrogant. One thing I will point out, like, the Iguodala move was perfect because Iguodala's skill set uniquely amplifies Steph and Clay. Like, there's nothing better than having a high IQ passer who can defend and doesn't want the ball in his hands next to Steph and Clay. But I think the one thing we all take for granted is Steph was cheap. Clay was even cheaper because he was on a rookie deal. They had a lot of money to find the right kind of players. Now they really have to be creative. You know, someone said to me, hey, man, it's easy when your star player makes mid-level exception money. It's a lot harder when you're paying like Harden and Westbrook max contracts and you're like trying to figure out how to put the best possible team around them on a budget. And that's kind of where the Warriors are at. I don't think it's impossible, but it's something we haven't seen yet. We know that if their core is healthy next year, they'll be competitive, they'll be in the mix. But those margins are the difference between them being like the Denver Nuggets and being a contender.
The Nuggets are fun, by the way. Great Nuggets and Jazz game. We'll get into later. I feel like they play the same game every time they play. But I look at, we like to talk about the Giants. Let's talk about the good part of it, where they find Yastrzemski and Alex Dickerson and kind of these guys where they don't have a star because the core system sucks the last couple of years.
Or they just don't have one. Their whole thing is like they're hoping that their farm will produce it in 2 years. But yeah.
And you know, I'm sure Zaidi will figure it out in a couple of years. But right now, he's good at figuring out how to get those marginal players, even like Donovan Solano. And that's the comparison I'm looking at, especially if you're talking about Moneyball, especially because the Warriors are going to have to find, like, it's Steph, Wiggins, Clay, Draymond, 95%. They're probably going to be the starting four. Now, who are you going to find with the vet men? Who are you going to find with the mid-level? Are you going to – I look at Jacob Evans, especially when you're looking at the draft. Also, we'll get into this because I look at it, and to me, it's are you using analytics, whatever quote-unquote analytics that they're using, to find the best fit, the best player, or both? Because to me, Jacob Evans is them saying
– or just the decision-making process. The best fit.
Yeah. All of that, right? All of that. Because like Jacob Evans to me is like, well, we'll just find the best fit and we're just going to say he's a 16-game player, guys. Sam, like, what was – like, it sounded cool at the time, didn't it? It sounded cool.
Yeah. It sounds cool when you're two-time champs. It sounds less cool when you're picking the top of the lottery.
And he's also out the league in half a year, you know?
You're right. It's going to be interesting because – there's a lot of arrogance with them, particularly in focusing on what players can't do, as opposed to focusing on what they can do and trying to find guys who have maybe undervalued skill sets that they can amplify. Like the one thing the Rockets do really well is find guys who do specific things well and then find a way to maximize it. Ben McLemore is a prime example. Cool. Kind of a washout for most of his, just a perennial disappointment, right? And they're like, you know, I think he can shoot, and we put him in our system and ask him to just shoot and put energy on defense. And he's had a really good year for them. Is he a game changer? I don't know. He's going to win him a few games. He's going to hit 5 threes in a playoff game. I guarantee you that. He's going to have a game where he scores 18 points in 15 minutes.
But even if he doesn't, he's going to help you win regular season games. And right now, that's more important for the Warriors, in my opinion. You still need to be a top seed. You don't want to go – no, maybe they're still in the bubble next season. It doesn't matter. But you still want to be a top two or three seed.
Right.
And
so let me give you the counter then. The counter is Kerr's system. He is Phil Jackson. He is Greg Popovich, where he wants well-rounded decision-making players and – he'd rather take the guy who's a B at everything than the guy who has one A-plus skill and is a C at everything. And I see that. I just think going forward, they're going to need a mix of those. Like, yes, you do need they do need a couple more high IQ pieces. Like, we've talked about Marc Gasol ad nauseum. I don't think anyone
needs... Every podcast.
I don't think anyone needs us to sell them on why Marc Gasol can be a player to amplify the system, to be just the perfect center to pass and shoot and do all those things. Yeah, you can get that. But what about finding a shooter off the bench who can give you 10 to 15 solid minutes a game? Is that going to be Damian Lee next year? I don't know. Probably not.
But Sam, what if they can get Terrence Ross, and Terrence Ross is really only good at shooting and probably not that great at anything else? Let's just say.
Yeah, right? I mean, he's a heat check guy.
Yeah, but... for example, that guy is perfect for the Rockets, right? And it's an easier system to build shitty player, well, okay, rotational players into, fringe players into. Do the Warriors want to do that? Because I don't know if they do. And that's why when you talk about Moneyball, to me, it's like, I don't know if the Warriors want, I don't know if Steve Kerr wants to do that. I don't know if he wants to lower his system. I don't know. Is that what I'm going for? Into something
simplify,
right? He doesn't, because he wants to be known as kind of like the rich man's or the high IQ, the Ivy League system. Like, they want to be known as the Ivy League. And I don't know. Sometimes you got to take a SF State guy, UC Davis guy. You know, sometimes you got to take a UC Davis guy into your system.
I think they need a mix of it, and it's going to be exciting to see what they do. I think we're coming across a little pessimistic here. I think there's reason for that. The bigger thing I'm worried about is the last few years, they haven't shown amazing propensity to find guys who can give you minutes. Like McKinney, it didn't work. Quinn Cook, marginal at best.
Well, those guys worked only when you had, you know, like,
four. Well, yeah, but I mean, you know what I mean? A lot of guys can work when you put them next to three guys or four guys like that, you know? So that's my point. They're going to need to start looking at different things. And in my opinion, I think you're getting at the same point. They probably need to be a little more flexible schematically, like to prioritize talent to make talent work.
And I think that, okay, so I don't want Isaiah Thomas. Okay, I understand why he's not a good fit, and he's probably not even a good basketball player at this point. But I think Isaiah Thomas type of player is what the Warriors should consider. Obviously, you want to develop someone like Jordan Poole to be a really good basketball player, and if he gets there, he gets there. But I think they have to look at someone like that. And that's why MT is always talking about someone like Jamal Crawford or even like Rodney Stuckey, who I don't know. But like,
shout out Rodney Stuckey.
Shout out, yeah. Right? But like, those are the type of players where you're like, you might have to take away some of your system, Steve Kerr, to kind of incorporate those guys because they're good basketball players and the Warriors need more of that.
Here's the secondary thing. They tanked this year. So someone like Eric Paschal got a lot of time. And we saw Eric Paschal is an NBA player. He's got a role. I'm not convinced he has a huge role, but he has a role. He can score at an NBA level. He's physical. I don't know if he'll ever defend well enough, and he definitely doesn't rebound enough. Like, his rebounding gives me a little pause. But at least they found that. But would they have found that if they had more vets and he didn't get to play? That's what I'm getting at. Can they both compete and develop at the same time? Because right now, I don't know that they can. When they were competing for titles, they weren't developing guys other than Looney, who fit a very finite role. But now that they're kind of in an in-between phase for next year, like, we know they have a core that can compete, but the rest of the roster, we're not sure. Where does it fit? Because if you go back to 2014-15, yes, the core was relatively young, but every other player on that team was a vet. Barbosa, Livingston, Bogut, obviously Iguodala. I mean, they were not giving minutes to rookies and second year players. Like, Harrison Barnes was the youngest guy in the rotation there, and he'd already shown he was at minimum a good NBA rotation player. It's just a question of how good he was.
So at this point, if your expectations are that you are the smartest team in the league or one of the smartest team in the league, I look at the Toronto Raptors, who I love, love. I think I'm going to pick them to win the championship. They have Norman Powell as a second-round pick, OG Anunoby, who I think is mid to late first. Even Chris Boucher.
Around 20th, yeah.
Even Chris Boucher, who was an ex-Warrior, by the way, undrafted. Fred VanVleet, I think he was also undrafted.
Yes, he was.
Very undrafted. And about to make $80 to $100 million. I think there's something to be said that I disagree with the fact that the Warriors can't develop players while they were great. Again, it's the past. Right, like what happens already happened. You can't change it. But to me, that just speaks to a kind of rested on the laurels a little
the
bit.
Warriors,
too much.
The Warriors would potentially say the pressure and the KD backdrop of free agency, and more than anything, the top of that roster is so stacked, made it harder for young guys to come in and feel the space. They would point to someone like McCaw, who I think you and I both agree, McCaw's talented, but he'd get a little nervous time to time. Like, he didn't want to take a shot because on one side he had KD, on the other side he had Klay Thompson. And you have to be a really confident guy to just take shots away from those guys. And I think they would say that. I don't think that's the case of next year's roster. I think Steph and Klay are probably at a place – where they don't need to prove anything in the regular season. They're not interested in playing for stats. They just want to win. And you don't have KD there either, which for better or worse, and it's probably for worse because it's probably better to have KD than not. that's 18 to 20 shots a game that a star is not getting. My point is there's going to be a little more opportunity now, given that they just won't have the high-end talent that they had in the past. And the high-end talent they have is probably in a different phase in their career. It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Yep. All right. So before we get to the questions, I want to talk about this, Sam, because Bob Meyer said something interesting. And I think it's interesting. He wants someone to help them now, and he wants someone to help them later, right? To me, that's very different from them saying what they said after drafting Jacob Evans. Very different. Top 30 versus top 5. But I think the thinking has changed. It makes me think, Sam, if they have a top 2 pick, they're not looking at it to be cute. They're not looking to trade back and get Devin Vassell or trade back and get Denny Avdija. To me, that tells me I think they just want the most talented player.
I mean, they should. I would be livid if they go for like functional fit at the Onyeka number 3 overall. Yeah. I mean, Okongwu may be the third or fourth best player in this draft, and he may warrant the selection. I just don't want the selection to be made on the basis of this guy can help us next year. And that's where they're both in a great spot and a confusing spot. They're in a great spot because, like, it sucks to be the Knicks or the Cavs where you don't know if you have anyone on your roster worth building around. You know, you're hoping maybe RJ Barrett or Darius Garland will be good, but you don't know. On the flip side, the Warriors, obviously, Steph's 32, Klay's 30, Draymond's 30. They don't want the four-year project that's coming into his own when they're all done either. So it's a little tricky, but I think it's exciting.
By the way, it is funny to me that these reclamation projects you talked about just hit me with the Houston Rockets and Macklemore. That's great. A great one. I think it's funny that the Warriors are doing something similar, except they're paying a shit ton more money. Like Andrew Wiggins better, but like, my Lord, they're paying him 30 plus million. They can't wait to get rid of his contract that nobody wants, right? It's a little funny.
That actually reminds me. Can I pivot to this real quick? In the Discord asked this question, hearing a lot of, if Wiggins is our third best player on the floor next year, watch out talk lately. In your opinion, what actually is a realistic expectation, both overall impact and numbers wise, of what it looks like on a regular basis?
What the hell does third best option on the floor even mean? Offensively?
That means you're okay. Steph and Klay are going to lead the team in shots and points. Wiggins, obviously, I mean, he played with Towns. Towns is a phenomenal offensive player, but like point guard play, creation, all this other stuff. Minnesota left a lot to be lacking there. Often they wanted him to create a shot in a way that he's just not good enough to, right?
Yeah, it's like Josh Richardson when he was a point guard for Miami. For some reason that popped in my head, but yeah.
Sure. And then
I don't know, because I like him.
He's a good player. And then but now it's like, all right, I can't think of a better situation for Wiggins than a ball movement system, the two greatest shooters of all time, one of whom attracts more defense than basically anyone. And he kind of can play that third fiddle role who probably has some explosive games here or there. Let's start with that. What would you consider a realistic best case for Andrew Wiggins next year?
I think we talked about this before. Above 35, the three-point percentage is the most important part to me. There's literally nothing else. Yes, defensively, I actually believe in him more defensively after watching like four games or however many games he played with the Warriors.
12.
I think it's the shooting. It's the 3-point shooting. If he can get it above 35, the higher it is, closer, the better. But like, I think if he get 35 and maybe inch to 37, I think that's really all you can ask for offensively. And the other question to me also is, who are the other three third best options in the NBA right now? Right? Like, I look at the Lakers, I look at the Clippers, I look at the Bucks. Who are their third best options? If Steph and Klay are players.
Clippers have a lot of talent.
They might have better, but like, But I don't think the Clippers are going to win this year, so it's not like they're the overwhelming favorites. So I think to me, it's like if you're talking Steph and Klay as the best two options, as good offensively as any other team in the league, I think Wiggins is probably just as good a third option. I just want to see
Wiggins play with intensity on a consistent basis.
God, the bar's low.
I'm telling you, if he plays hard, I think he'll be fine next to them. Because,
but isn't that like the bar? Oh,
I know it's a bad noise. Bar. Okay, so he's
when you're right.
I'm pulling up the numbers right now. So when he – I do agree with you. I'm less concerned about the shooting, to be honest.
Okay, so what do you think? Why do you think he's not going to play hard?
Here's a statistic for you. He averaged one steal and 0.6 blocks a game in his career. For the Warriors, in the 12 games he played, which is small, he averaged 1.3 and 1.4, basically 1.5 steals and 1.5 blocks. If he does that sort of stuff, I'm going to be happy because he's capable of it. He's athletic enough. He has good enough defensive instincts. And it's more of a staying locked in possession to possession deal for him on that end. I actually think offensively he'll be fine in the system because he screams to me as a guy who wants to play in a system. He's not good enough to create his own shot on a consistent basis. And he doesn't strike me as someone who's dying to create his own shot on a consistent basis. He strikes me as someone who's happier to get 15 to 20 in flow and get like 3 to 5 assists playing in flow and passing it to Steph and Klay and Cutters and whatever it may be than trying to prove he's a 25-point-per-game scorer.
By the way, amazing point because – I think that's how Steph and Klay are too. And I think that's why Steve Kerr loves Andrew Wiggins or likes Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Steph and Klay, when they're feeling it, absolutely want to take every shot, but in a good way. They're comfortable. I mean, they get frustrated when their shot's not falling or they're not getting the shots they want, but they're willing to push through that frustration and commit to the system more than, let's just say, other star players who just kind of dominate the ball if things aren't going their way. I think the big thing is, yeah, if he keeps the blocks and steals above one a game, that's a semi-metric of engagement level for him. He's too talented, he's just too athletic to not average over a steal a game on defense. Like, he's shown he can have 3 to 4 steal games. Anything under one steal a game, to me, indicates laziness. You know, you can have games where you don't, but like, if you're playing with consistent energy, you will rack up those things.
From what Sam's sources have heard too, I think part of what was going on with Jimmy Butler and the whole kind of shit show in Minnesota was not necessarily at Andrew Wiggins, but more so everyone else on that team. So I think a lot of people watch that and say, oh, Jimmy Butler this and that, and the whole team is lazy. And suck, and maybe they do suck, but I don't think it was mainly directed at Andrew Wiggins. And I know it's funny to say, you know, the guy, he just, you know, what's the guy's name in Minnesota? Glenn something was
Glenn, like, Taylor.
Hey. Glenn Taylor was like, oh, you got to try harder and we can give you the $300 million or whatever he gave him, right? And it's funny to say, well, Andrew Wiggins said that and then he didn't try harder. But I think you're right with regards to he's not the type to want to be Jimmy Butler and be the number one option, especially
which is by the way why he's option. Which is by the way why he's not a max player. I don't think he's enough of a self starter to be a max player.
Oh, okay.
I think here's your hope. You think someone like Steph, who leads with more positivity, and a coaching staff like Steve Kerr and Ron Adams and Mike Brown, all those guys, kind of focusing on like, I just want you to do certain things well, you'll bring the best out of him. To me, the best out of him is like, you know, 15 to 20 points a game efficiently. He'll have explosive games. He'll have those games where you're like, I don't know, he didn't really seem all that impactful, but he'll be relatively efficient on the lower usage. He'll probably get 3 to 4 assists a game. I don't want to call him a good passer, but he's not a bad passer by any means. He's definitely smart enough to make the right read. And then, like I said, the steals and blocks for me are a big thing with him. If he stays engaged, he should at least fill up the box score in that way. He should be a guy who gets you a lot of like 17 points, 6 rebounds, 3 to 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 blocks. A lot of games like that. If everything goes right.
Kyle Kuzma
Shut up.
No, but I'm saying Kyle Kuzma, Eric Bledsoe.
These are your third option comments. Is this what you're trying to get at me? You're trying to say, can he be as good as Kuzma? Can he be as good as Eric Bledsoe? I don't know, man. I don't necessarily like that comp the way you're getting at it, because those teams are built a little differently than the Warriors. But
you didn't like the Kyle Kuzma. You didn't like the Kyle Kuzma.
Kuzma's looked decent enough.
I know, isn't that crazy?
To kind of hold off of it.
Yeah. Andrew Wiggins or Dion Waiters. All right. Well, before we move on here, I'm gonna do a few reads. So Blue Wire has partnered with football. Sunday Ticket. Sundays are coming back in the NFL with NFL Sunday Ticket.tv. You can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices, plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. So no matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSunday.tv. Use promo code BLUEWIRE. Niners offense looks fantastic. All right, next one. Ooh, we got a good one, Sam. We got TheraOne CBD. So I'm a huge, huge CBD user. Okay, the first sentence really, really proves the point. So from tight muscles, tough workouts, signs of aging, simply making it through each busy day, everyone understands what it feels like to be tense and sore. So everyone can benefit from TheraOne CBD products. Started by Jason Worsland, TheraBody exists to provide you with the best scientifically validated natural solutions to help soothe your body and relax your mind. This started with the revolutionary TheraGun percussive therapy device when Dr. Jason saw the benefits of using CBD in his treatments, so he created TheraOne to bring you CBD products done right. So a lot of CBD products claim organic, but still contain up to 30% filler. And these fillers are potentially toxic. TheraOne tests their products 4 times before they get it to you. Every product is USDA certified organic, grown in the US, and their CBD extracts are the highest quality available anywhere. So use TheraOne's warming lotion in your morning routine, the cooling lotion or massage oil to recover, body balm for targeted relief, and sleep tincture to drift into a deep night's sleep. And now through Labor Day, Monday, September 7th, so we got a couple weeks here, TheraOne is offering a listeners a buy one, get one free for all TheraOne products. But but you've got to go to TheraGun.com/BlueWire. TheraGun.com/BlueWire. If you don't love what you get from TheraOne, send it back for a full refund within 30 days of purchase. This is not something TheraOne is likely to do again. So please buy one, get one now. TheraGun.com/BlueWire, but only until Labor Day. So 3 weeks. Go right now. TheraGun.com/BlueWire.
Ow. I'm sweating up a storm. This humidity's got to stop.
Yeah. I don't sweat, by the way. I'm not a sweat guy, but.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're different that way.
I thought you were going to say, no, you are. And I was like, wait, how would you? Like, no, that's not me.
Nope.
Maybe it's a Persian thing. Maybe it's a Persian thing versus a Chinese thing.
It's a body hair thing, but yes.
Yeah, look at mine.
Let's move into this. So lottery preview Thursday. All right, what's the best case scenario for the Warriors? Obviously, it's winning the lottery. I don't even think there's a question here. Like, I don't know that I want the number one pick in terms of this draft kind of sucks, but like, I want the Warriors to have the optionality to make the decision they want to make here.
I want to ask you this, though. Do you think that the Warriors kind of do want like the third pick because
they want just no pressure?
Yeah. Like part of me with Bob, okay, maybe secretly they don't, but Bob Myers, some of the comments where it was like, well, people remember when you have a number one pick and bust, but they don't remember when you have the number five pick. I think he's hitting like the draft sucks. So he's trying to hedge his bets and say like, well, everybody sucks. And it's going to look bad if we have the number one pick, but don't forget everyone sucks. And it's just like, all right, we don't need the hedge.
A little bit. Yeah. Actually you were getting like to
Steve Kerr expectations, by the way, in the beginning of the season, which I was not a fan of.
No, the Sad Boy Tour sucked. We're getting that here. Where do we see somewhere that more Wiseman hype? We're back on Wiseman Week?
I am back on Wiseman Week. I love James Wiseman. I think I now love James Wiseman. My previous argument was that positional versatility as well as positional scarcity makes it so that you always, always, always want to find a playmaker or a wing.
But I'm looking at this draft, man, and I'm looking at it, and I don't see it. Even my guy, Denny Efdia, I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't know. The Wiseman thing's tricky for me because I do tend to side with you that going with the wing or a playmaker is probably the smarter move. But then you hear about a 7-footer who can potentially shoot from outside and defend the rim. It's really like, how many times you run through in your head the scenario where they pass on him because for whatever reason, and he turns into Miles Turner or Chris Bosh. And then you just are just upset because those are literally the perfect players to go with the Warriors core.
Well, I look at JJJ. That's kind of like the guy I look at now who, like, I had no idea going into the draft. But, like, that's the guy. I watch him put the ball on the floor, Sam, and I watch him get to the bucket, and then I watch him shoot threes and make threes. And defensively, it's like, okay, he'll probably get to be good. Right? And I look at that, and I'm like, my God.
He's got defense. He knows how to defend. He just he fouls too much, which is a young player thing.
Because he's 17 years old or whatever he is. But you know what I mean? Like, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. That's a thing. Like, you can talk yourself out. Those physical tools and what he can do, it's so hard, particularly in a draft where it's not like there's a Zion or a Tatum or, you know, someone where you're like, that's the guy. So you keep going back to the physical tools.
Chris Bosh.
I don't think it'll be Chris Bosh, but, like, I don't know, man. You guys see a 7-footer can shoot a little bit, and I don't know if he can shoot. I know he makes free throws. I know he has solid form on his jumper, but there's a difference between having solid form and being able to hit him in NBA games.
Yes, and it's the perfect situation. If James Wiseman's going to go to the Cavs, he's going to fail. If James Wiseman goes to the Knicks, he's going to fail. If James Wiseman goes to the Warriors, he has a much higher chance with the Warriors than any other team. Now, that goes for also Anthony Edwards. But I think it's just, if you're the Warriors, if you're Bob Myers and Joe Lacob and Kirk and Kent, whoever the hell else, Mike Dunleavy, I think if you got to take advantage
of Steph.
Shout
out Larry Riley.
You got to take advantage of Steph, Clay, and Draymond, not just because they're good, but because you're never going to put someone in a better environment. Because 5 years from now, if and when Steph Curry retires, and you've got James Wiseman, who's now picked up everything that he's needed from that core, right? Then he's
at least have something, yeah.
Yep. So.
I agree. I don't think there's much more to talk about the lottery preview. It's kind of like, what's the best case scenario? Getting the higher pick. What's the worst case scenario? Getting the lower pick. You know, like, it is what it is. I'm just excited to know where they pick so we can actually get into the nuts and bolts. And we'll do that on Thursday. All right, let's move this forward. Today was day one of the bubble playoffs, man. I got to get some of your takes. We got to hear where are you at right now?
I picked the Bucks to win the East, and I kind of lean towards the Bucks winning the championship. Obviously, I would like it to be the Rockets because it's funny. But Sam, even if it is the Brooklyn freaking Nets, that defense I haven't seen as good since we watched the 2016-17 Warriors team locked in. With Draymond, Kevin Durant, and Andre Iguodala. And Klay Thompson, sorry.
Let's talk about why they're so good, though. I think that's the more interesting thing, because outside of Lowry, Gasol, and Ibaka, like, everyone there's a Masai draft pick, right? And I'm not saying that's nothing. Like, Kyle Lowry is a proven defensive quantity. Marc Gasol, obviously a proven defense. But those three guys are proven quantities, and that matters. But, like, I mean, let's be real here. Siakam, 27th pick. OG Anunoby, 22nd, I want to say. I'm going off the top of my head, so if I'm wrong, please correct me. It might have been 18th or something. Van Vliet, undrafted. Hollis Jefferson, waiver wire guy.
Yep.
Norm Powell, they drafted in the second round. Matt Thomas, I don't know where the fuck he came from. Terrence Davis, second round pick. I can keep going down the line. My point is, if we want to talk about the Warriors, isn't your hope that they can figure out what the Raptors did, which was exceptional draft and development?
Yep.
Particularly on that end. I don't think a lot of people would have suspected OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam to be as good as they are. And I think we need to go back to it. Like they all had physical outlier gifts. So maybe that says the Warriors should really prioritize length and guys who metrics really value in terms of steal rate and block rate, because I think that's a big thing for both of them. In fact, our guy Draymond was a big steal rate guy. Like
right.
He it was assumed he couldn't defend, but all his college stats just showed like 2 steals, 2 blocks every game, that type of thing. And lo and behold, he gets the NBA. And despite the fact he's not the tallest guy or the fastest guy, I mean, he's quick, but he's still racking up those steals and blocks because he has instincts and you can't teach instincts. We've watched Kerr try to teach him. Can't teach him. You know,
we watched him try.
I'm just looking at like Siakam's stats at college right now, and it's like 1 steal, 2.5 blocks, and whatever minute, you know, 30 minutes a game. Like he had the same high steal and block rates, and Anunoby is the same thing. So maybe we should be looking at that stuff.
One of the smartest front offices that you can have. By the way, that DeMar DeRozan trade was panned, at least by the players. And honestly, like, no-brainer trade, right? And he ran that risk by Kyle Lowry, who wasn't happy, essentially. But, you know, I think we've spent a lot of time kind of gassing up the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, man. They were, I mean, as a team, they're just hard to compare defensively. They know how to, not only do they have the physical gifts individually to defend, but they defend as a unit. Now, I have a lot of faith if the Warriors were able to find the right guys. Kerr, Mike Brown, Ron Adams,
coming back.
All those guys, they can figure out how to scheme it up. But as we've seen, they can't scheme up guys who can't defend. You have to have the baseline skills to make it work.
You look at OG Anunoby's lower body too, and you're like, Jesus, like this guy's built to be a 4, even if he's a semi-undersized, or at least a very, very strong 3. I don't see how they don't win I don't see how they can't win the East. By the way, you see Boston, Jaylen Brown got hurt, and Gordon Hayward's on crutches. So, I mean, your team might be done, which sucks because it's game one. But I don't – like, that one thought surprised me at all if the Raptors took it to the Bucks. For all the reasons I love the Bucks, the shooting and the continuity, the Raptors have continuity in spades, and they have a defense that I think could win the title. Like
they have a title caliber defense. Yes. They do. There's no way around that. Like there was a friend of the show, Tom Haberstroh, throughout the Warriors would like to trade their pick and Wiggins for Siakam, and I'm like, yeah, I'll trade Andy too. I'll throw in Sheed. I'll throw in all my followers. I don't really give it. You know, you can
throw in Strauss. Send him to Toronto. Since he hates the U.S. so much.
But I mean, it's not happening, just to be clear, guys. But yeah, like the point stands in terms of the type of player that they would like. Yes, I too would like a Siakam or a Jonathan Isaac.
So I guess the only question to me, my thoughts here on the first day of the playoffs, Sam, do you think, because I assume that Pascal and Kyle Lowry are going to be pretty good, do you think Fred VanVleet could legit be a first or second scoring option here, even in the NBA Finals? Do you think that, like, I think that's realistic? Because if it is, why aren't they the favorites?
I do not. I think at the end of the day, they just don't have enough offense against the elite teams, but they might get deep into the Eastern Conference Finals. And if you're already there, man, you just need to hit shots for a couple games, right? Like all of a sudden, it's not about you not having enough. All of a sudden, it's like, we just need to get through 2 games, man. You know, I do think they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I do think they can give Milwaukee enough of a, like, it's not out of the realm. I would pick Milwaukee to beat them. That's my personal pick, but I don't think it's unrealistic for Toronto to get it done.
Yeah. Let's talk Clippers.
I don't really even want to talk Clippers as much as the Clippers are kind of a diatribe for my biggest reason I don't think the bubble is legit, man. Hear me out on this one. The officiating sucks. And I think it's actually proving the NBA rule changes suck, because the NBA rules they keep putting emphasis on freedom of movement, so you can't defend. Now, we all know it's hard to ref, especially when you have crowd noise, you can't see everything, and the crowd's on your ass, right? Now, with no crowd, they're able to call everything. And if literally by the letter of the law, touching someone's a foul, you see all these ticky-tack fouls at all times. And I think it's terrible for the game. I don't think it's good when you can't play defense. I don't think it's good for the game to have games 125, 130 all the time and just chucking.
I agree, because you ever read that? There was an article that came out, it might have been ESPN, but the refs are essentially judged on if they get the calls right or not by the letter of the law. So if you look at kind of the spirit of the game or like that type of stuff, right? Like if you're reffing like a rec league game, and you're like, you sometimes just kind of do a makeup call or you do a block or a charge.
Right, right.
You're like, okay, you know, I'm not going to give this guy the fucking block. Like, it's a rec league game. The charge. It's a rec league game. So I think, like, a lot of that you could probably do in the NBA, and I think fans would probably be okay with that. So I'm with you. That's not
so you know
happen.
What? You know why the league went away from that? Because everyone got conspiratorial that they were fixing games for the Lakers in the early 00s. Like, the most famous one is the 02 game against the Kings. One of the worst officiated games I've ever seen. I still think it's fixed. But I think the flip side of it is I don't think people want to watch this. I don't think it's good basketball. I actually forget what people want to watch. I just don't think it's good basketball. Like, the rules need to be a little more balanced. This is true,
Sam,
by the way.
Sam looks fed up, by the way.
This is true in all sports. Let's just be clear on this one. People don't like to watch 50 to 60 football games, right? It's cool every once in a while when you're like, oh my God, they just keep hitting these insane passes. But it has to be obvious that they're hitting insane passes. It can't be a case of like the DBs can't touch them and just like pass interference down the field. It can't be like, it's one thing when like Pat Mahomes hits Kelsey or Tyreek Hill on insane passes. It's another if he's throwing it up there and getting 30 yards on pass interference and they're just getting points like that. And that's how the NBA feels to me right now. It feels like you can't touch anyone. And if you do, they get 30 free throws. And that's not watchable either. There has to be, it'll never be 50-50 even between the offense and defense. I don't think that's possible, but it has to feel like you have to be able to defend as equally as you can score.
Yeah. There's also a little bit too much where mediocre shooters are shooting too many threes. Kristaps Porzingis, Sam, is averaging like 34, 35% from three, and he's shooting seven of them a game, and he's 7-10. Come on.
Yeah. But then the flip side comes, if you try to close hard on shooters, you're giving them free throws so that they can get up 10 to 12 threes a game. That's the other part that kills me. Like, someone like Eric Gordon shouldn't be getting up 10 threes a game. But he can, because if you contest, it's a flailing free throw every time. And what would you rather have? Would you rather give Eric Gordon 10 threes or 10 free throws? Obviously, give him 10 threes. He's going to go 9 of 10 from the free throw line. He might go 2 of 10 from the three-point line. He might also go 6 of 10. But he's not going to go like 5 of 10 from the free throw line. Maybe once every 20 games.
Right. All in all, though, Sam, I do want to say basketball has been pretty damn good in the bubble. Like, at the very least, it's been entertaining. Like, Damian Lillard, Devin Booker, and the Phoenix Suns going 8-0. I think the playoffs are going to be fascinating to watch. The Clippers have been hard to watch tonight, but the Mavericks have been fun all season.
The Clippers, by the way, the Clippers have the energy of a team who's trying to win their third straight title. And I'm just always like amazed. I'm like, dude, you guys haven't done shit. You guys act like you're all Kawhi Leonard. Like, I'm tired.
How about this? Is that Kawhi Leonard's fault? Because Kawhi Leonard with the Spurs, Kawhi Leonard with the Raptors last season, they weren't happy with it either. Again, they won, they put it together. So I don't know how much that matters, but how much is this on Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've said it. Kawhi, he's not a bad teammate, but he's also probably not the guy to rally the troops in that way either.
You know what? Like, that could be like, can you imagine? Like he's got like a second best player kind of mentality or that type of like vibe. But the fact
he's got that personality while his game is the opposite.
It's alpha. Yeah.
Yeah. his game, like, I love that about him, where he's just like, yeah, you guys are sucking. I'm going to go hit 15 elbow jumpers in a row.
Yeah, he just it feels like sometimes he's just like forcing the ball.
Yeah. And then on a different level, the Clippers are also just like, the continuity is just awful with them. That's the thing that kills me. It's like you see these 5-minute spurts where they're good and you're like, man, this team could be really good if they put it all together.
The first 5 minutes.
Yeah, but then it's just like, but then they don't do it for a full game, and you know why they didn't do it for a full game. Because they never play together. And then you just wonder, like, am I just buying in too heavily into what they're capable of? Or are they actually working towards becoming that team who can be the best team in the league?
Yeah, we will see. Let's do some fun questions, Sam, before we get out of here.
Oh, we have some more questions?
Just some rapid fire fun ones. I got one for you. Shafuto Yu. What's your favorite home cooked Persian food?
Ooh, you're really going to ask me my favorite type of Persian food?
Yeah, I think the people want to know.
it's obviously got to be some sort of kebab dish. It's got to be a little chili kebab. It's just a Sunday staple, just a plate of just pounds of rice and kebab. That's going to be the number one thing for sure. I can go into some other dishes.
Wait, what meat is that? Was that beef?
Ask him beef, of course. Yeah.
Nate Mosby, would Andy give up drinking to see the Warriors win a title next season? Yes. I don't know what the Sam, would you?
I'm calling BS on that one for you.
Logan Murdoch, can you slander Bonte Hill? A little bit too much Farhan Zaidi slander in the last couple of days. A little bit too much of the problem with a lot of SF natives or Bay Area natives growing up being fans of teams is, you got to step back a little bit, man. Like, the Giants losing a couple games to the A's and choking, it's really, who cares? Look, it doesn't matter. What, the Giants would be 10-12 versus 8-14? What are we doing here? I don't understand the theatrics, you know? I'm glad Bonte's passionate about his Giants, our Giants, your Giants. But I just think
Hashtag not my Giants.
Not your Giants. You just care a little too much, man. It's like the Warriors, like, if the Warriors were shit this season, I don't know if I care too much if they lose a big lead to Portland, because what difference does that make? Sure, it would have been nice if they won, but it doesn't matter. Calm down. Right, Bonte? All right.
I'm seeing so many questions. I didn't see a bunch of these questions. But yeah, we're getting into this. All right, how about this one from Option Zero? Any reason to not bring back Gentry this summer? No chance he gets another head coach gig. What do we think Alvin Gentry, where does he fit into the staff? Do they need him? Just to be clear, big fan of him as a coach, both as an assistant and a head coach. I thought he got a little bit of a raw deal in New Orleans, but it's a brutal business, right?
He might just be one of those that aren't made to be a head coach. You know what I mean? I think like Robert Sala might be someone like that, where it's like, I don't know if he could be a head coach. Great defensive head coach though. But like, I maybe with Alvin Gentry, we're like, yeah, I don't know if he could be a coach, but he's a damn good offensive coordinator.
Yeah. What do you think he would do if they brought him in next year that they weren't getting this year?
I think there has to be some type of, I don't know. But there has to be some pushback to how Steve Kerr wants to run the offense. You talk about balance.
I agree with you there. I think he has enough gravitas to question Steve. What's his name? Like, Chris DeMarco is not going to question Steve Kerr. And that has nothing to do with it. Like, honestly, I don't think any mid-30-year-old assistant could question Steve in that capacity. Alvin Gentry's been a head coach. Alvin is in his 50s. Is he 60? I think he's actually 60 now. He's not afraid to question him, and it's always good. I think that's one of Kerr's best qualities, is he's not afraid to reconsider it, but you have to be able to challenge him. And I mean, I don't want to say he's intimidating, but like, he's a very passionate about the way he views things. I don't think it's always easy to challenge someone like that, you know, like just workplace dynamics. Think about if you have a boss who's that esteemed and accomplished, and like, driven by what they believe. It's not the easiest thing to question. Sometimes you need someone who's willing to question it. And Mike Brown, excellent coach, but he's always defense before offense. Like he's not going to be the one who's pushing Steve too hard on like considering other offensive schemes time to time.
Yeah, Mike Brown kind of reminds me of kind of similar to Mark Jackson, or that type of coach where it's just, or Thibodeau, where it's just like on offense, just do something basic and I'll work on the defensive side.
Right, exactly.
And Steve's kind of that. And Rod Adams is mostly kind of maybe developmental, a lot of defense. And yeah,
Rod is very much in the nuts and bolts of the details of like form of how you defend and some of the smaller stuff, which is very important, by the way, but it's less big picture questioning because he's, from what I gathered, very happy to buy into he's more about but doing it right than like the specific scheme.
By the way, somebody, Clay Stan, said that, thank you, Andy, for putting me onto your name. Did not expect to feel the way I did. Big anime guy. You know, I'm pushing anime and K-dramas this year to my followers, Sam, because there's literally nothing else to watch. Okay. All right. do we have any more?
Yeah. This one. Is Dame the second best point guard behind Steph? We talked about Dame on Premium.
Subscribe.
You guys should subscribe because it was much better than this episode. But no. I think so. Well, it depends. Do you consider Luka a point guard?
No. I mean, no. Come on. Then we're saying LeBron's a point guard.
In which case, LeBron's the second best point guard in the league. what was I going to say?
James Harden is a point guard. Jeez.
Like, this is interesting. Would you rather have Dame or Luka? For right now, not like obvious long term, this isn't a question because one of them's 21 and whoever you think's better right now, the margin's not big enough to justify the age difference.
I'd rather have Dame. Dame's at least one playoff series. He's a better shooter, and I think just that just
matters. And he's in like the middle of his prime.
Like, so. Yeah, not that Dame is like this. Like honestly, Sam, like here's a better one for you. You'd rather have Chris Paul or Dame right now? Like, who's better?
Ooh,
I thought about that after Premium.
I think I'd rather have Dame. I actually think it depends on the team. I don't know that I'd rather have Dame if I had like let's say I have Kawhi Leonard on my team. You know, someone who's like an unquestioned first option. I think I'd rather have Chris Paul, you know? Not because Chris is, you know, a point guard, whatever, but like some of the margin stuff he does is much more valuable when you can count on someone else to be the guy to get you 30. Dame, unquestionably, if you need someone to carry the offense, like let's say you have Pascal Siakam, okay? Who would you rather have? Dame? Or
that's
Chris Paul.
That's an interesting one. The thing is, I think Pascal Siakam's so great.
The A's just blew it in the ninth.
Nice, love that. Sheed's not happy though. New A's fan Sheed. I think Pascal. I don't know if that one, because I think Pascal's so good that I don't think it matters.
He's taking enough of a step offensively that it doesn't matter. Yeah, I could see your point.
What if it's Paul George? Like, what if it's your guy, Paul George? Who'd you rather have?
Hashtag my guy. I'd rather have Steph Curry.
I think I'd rather have Chris Paul.
I need to know who else on the team. Like, yeah, I guess you're right. It's close. I think I probably side Dame. I think Paul George is better playing off of someone, but
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's close. I don't know. If we're talking like Dame is what, like top somewhere between the 5th and 10th best scorer in the league, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Something in that range. So if you're giving me one of the top 5 or 6 scorers, I'll take Chris Paul. If you're giving me one of those guys who's amazing on defense, I think I'd rather have Dame. How about this? You have Klay Thompson.
Oh, I think I'll take Chris Paul because I think with the way that you want to leave Klay Thompson off ball and you can gear a lot of the offense towards Klay Thompson, I think with Dame it's a little bit different. I think Dame has a little bit of James Harden in him to where if you can take him out of the game enough, he doesn't really help you enough off ball. And that's why Steph and Klay work so well together. Doesn't matter who you take out. They're amazing, both of them, off ball. So I think that if it's Klay Thompson, you do want Chris Paul because he can get his 25, but he will help Klay get his 25. So I think
also defensively, Chris Paul and Klay Thompson defensively is a it's not going to be fun to go against.
Why are we slurping Chris Paul? That's my fault.
Yeah. I want one more question, then we'll get out of here because we can't end on that. It's making me feel
nauseous. Oh boy, you're gonna take this Giants Warriors one that I'm looking at. It's pretty nasty. That's pretty nasty. He's just asking for it.
All right. Who are you taking in 7? Bubble Nets or Wiggins 1920 Warriors?
All right, this is how we'll end it. I don't think it's close. I do not think it's close at all. Caris LeVert is the best player on the floor. By the way, which I don't know how Caris LeVert's going to play with KD and Kyrie, especially with the system that they want to play. I think the Nets beat the shit out of the Wiggins Warriors. And that's mostly because they have the best player.
Yeah,
and Joe Harris is probably the second best guy. So
they have at least 6 NBA players. The 1920 Warriors without Steph, Klay, and Draymond had probably 4. So just a pure math equation, 6 NBA players beats 4 NBA players. That's where I'm at with it.
Maybe 4. Yeah, I don't even know if it's 4. By the way, even if Draymond plays, well, I guess he did play on the 1920 Warriors. There's no chance that he opts out of the bubble.
Portland has Dame, CJ, and Gary Trent Jr. Is there a better 3-guard combo in the league?
All right. Okay. You know what? Let's end with this. Because that annoys me. That question annoys me. I think you have to throw away some of the numbers that you're seeing in the bubble, Sam.
Thank you. Took you an hour to get there.
There is a lot of I enjoy the basketball, but there's a lot of AAU pickup YMCA stuff going on where I'm watching.
Portland's actually a perfect example because they punt defense. They're trying to win 135, 134. And you know what happens when you score 135 points? Everyone puts up big numbers.
And that's perhaps when we even talk about Dame and Steph, what is one of the things that should be talked about? And I don't think in a way that says we hate basketball, right? It just should be talked about in that. Look, this is the basketball they're watching. It's entertaining, but it's not real basketball to a point. It's fine. We can by not saying that it's shitty.
Not that it's not real basketball, but it needs to be contextualized in winning. If Steph scores 25 a game, on a team that can defend and only allows 95 a game, is that not more valuable than the guy who scores 30 on a team that puts up 130 and allows 130? You know what I'm saying? Like, everything has to be contextualized. The point is to win. It's not to put up numbers. Despite what they tell you on ESPN, the point is to win, not to put up numbers.
Ben, can you put that caption as the pod title this week before we head out of here? I'll make sure that he does that. And we'll put that on a shirt.
Should have got that up there earlier. actually, we'll get that out. Light Years podcast shirt. More interested in winning than numbers.
All right, man. So we got the lotto coming on Thursday.
We'll be back here Thursday. We'll do a live show. You better get your internet figured out by then.
All right, Sam. All right, brother.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is back in action, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and 7-time NBA champ Big Shot Bob Robert Horry. See what they had to say on what it'll be like with playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.